Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I've got another first. This is the first time I've had somebody on three times, and honestly, I could have this guy on 100 times because the conversations that we have are just so remarkable, and the information he provides is so mind-blowing that I just keep wanting to have him back. So everybody welcome Mark S.A. Smith back for the third time. And I do believe that S.A. stands for super awesome. Is that correct?
Or sexually adept or smart ass, depending on who you're talking to in the moment.
How you doing,
Mark? It actually stands for Stephen Anton. With a name like Smith, you need to have extra names. And for me, it's my brand, right?
Right.
Like you're Brian Bacon Basilico, the 3B guy. It's a delight to be with you, and I love our conversations, and I'm honored to be a three-peat with you. And let's dive right in, because we've got some hot stuff to share, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So as I was telling you in the precursor and earlier this week, I did a podcast and blog on managing your reputation, and today I gave a presentation about managing your reputation. So what I wanted to talk to you about, because I mean, you work in the corporate world. I mean, you're in the big pond. And
I do work with Fortune 500 companies. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're playing with some big fish, and we talked about, the two things that we did before was managing disruption and then how do you catch a whale? So you're working with these whales. The question that, we're going to get into today is about getting reviews and managing your reputation. So let's start off by talking about, how do you get people to give good reviews? What's your process, or what's your thoughts on that?
I love this. Well, I want to frame this up just a little bit. I'm a small business doing business with big business, and that has benefits and it has distractions and detractions. The benefit is that the checks tend to be large. The distractions is that, as you pointed out, compensation constipation, they tend to be slow payers. So you just have to manage all that. And that said, today we are all driven by reviews. So consider this, listener. When was the last time you bought something from Amazon that you had never bought before without checking out the reviews? How about you, Brian?
I just joined Amazon Prime this year, and I can honestly say this is the coolest thing ever. You get something delivered on a Sunday, but I always check the reviews. I mean, that's
every time.
It's price and reviews. Those are the two most important things to me.
And, we look for a couple things in reviews. Number one is we look for, how many five-star reviews, and we look for people that are having genuine problems. And I also look for the negative reviews, because I want to find out what kind of problems people have so I can say, no, that's not a true problem, or I don't expect that problem. Or to say, that I appreciate that insight. I think I'm going to choose something else. I'm sure it's the same for you.
No, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely look at the negative reviews, and if it's something, if there's enough of the same thing, that's usually it, because there's always a troll or somebody out there that's going to write something negative because they just were not happy that day.
and competitors do it all the time. Competitors frequently troll products. And so in the world of Amazon, you look for a verified purchase. Did they really buy it? If they didn't really buy it, forget it. I'm going to ignore that. So the point is that we've become a review-driven society. And a second example of that is Yelp. When do we go to restaurants without reviewing them on Yelp or without having somebody say, "Oh, you got to go try it out"?
Right.
We have to have reviews, and it's built into our DNA now. So with that, it means that we have to collect reviews, we have to ask for reviews, we have to post reviews, we have to manage reviews. And the best way to do that is to actively ask for them. So how do you go about it, getting reviews, Brian?
See, now, this is a place where I disagree with you. Because when you ask for a review or you ask for a testimonial, what do most people say? They say, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll get to it. And then it just sits and sits and sits. And then you remind them a second time. You think about it a week or two later and say, hey, can I get that review? Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about it. And then you ask them a third time, and then they start to get annoyed because you're bugging them. So the way that I do it and the way that I found the most success, and this is actually based on a book that I read. It's called The 100-0 Principle. And it's by one of my mentors. His name is Al Ritter. And you can actually get it on Amazon. It's written by by a company called Simple Truths. And his principle is this: give 100% of yourself 100% of the time, expect nothing in return, and watch what happens. Yeah. So the way that I get reviews, so I don't ask for them. I give them. I give reviews to people that I work with. I'll go on LinkedIn and I'll write them a review. What does LinkedIn do then? LinkedIn actually says, hey, you got a review from Brian Basilico. Do you want to return the favor? Nine times out of 10, we are competitive. We, as we get a review, we're going to say, well, he wrote a really nice review. I'm going to do a better one. And I'm going to put more thought process into it. And I'm going to do it now, because I want to return the favor at this moment. And I would say,
I owe you.
Right. About 70% of the time, you not only get the review a lot faster or the testimonial a lot faster, but what you end up getting is a much more glowing, heartfelt, thought out review.
Beautiful. I love the idea of give a review to get a review. Another strategy that I suggest is to ask for a review when somebody compliments you. Now, these days when people say, thanks a lot, I really appreciate what you did for me, most people say, no problem. Don't ever say that. You're wasting an opportunity. No problem implies that what you did has no value. And the world of sales, as in politics, is run on the favor bank. So if somebody says thank you, put a favor in your favor bank. You're welcome. You do the same for me. Would you do me a favor? And in which case, they're going to say, sure. Would you mind just typing that up, those same things? And I know you also record it when people are online, and so you just ask them if you can transcribe it. That's a brilliant strategy.
Yeah, you can easily go on your phone if you call them from a cell phone and buy a cell phone recorder. And just when you're calling clients and you're having that closing conversation, you finish it and it's like, tell me what you think. What did you like? You know, ask them questions that actually turns into a review and say, hey, would you mind if I take this and get it transcribed, compile it and send it to you so that you can look at it and use it as a testimonial? Most people will say, absolutely, you know, because you're taking the burden off of them. And you've already asked those questions that are going to get you the kind of review that you want.
That's right. And they've already committed to it. And using Cialdini's influences of persuasion, they're going to be consistent with what they've already said. So let's use that to our advantage. It's a really brilliant idea. I like that a lot. One of my favorite questions to ask is, what surprised you about our work together? Because that's going to reveal the unexpected value they didn't think they were going to get or didn't expect. And that allows me to push the boundaries for what the review talks about.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things that I do, so I have my Bacon System class and I've got my masterminds. I just started a brand new LinkedIn class.
Yeah.
I go through and I do training, and each one of those, you know, the mastermind is about 15 minutes worth of training. The other two classes is 30 solid minutes, you know, 6 or 12 weeks long. At the end of every single training session, I always ask everybody in the group, you know, usually it's somewhere between 10 and 12 people. I say to them, I say, okay, now I want you to tell me what your aha moment was. What was the one thing that you got out of this that made you think differently or enhance something that you already believed? And what you get out of that is some positive feedback that lets you know what to emphasize more. What are some of the selling points? So that as you're selling further on down the line, you've got an arsenal of things that you can use. And of course, this is all recorded. I can go back and listen to it. And I can get it transcribed if I wanted to. But it's by asking people the right targeted questions is where you get the kind of ammunition you need to get the reviews that you need.
Excellent. It's a really great idea. And we get three benefits out of doing that. We get three benefits every time we ask people to tell us what was the value of us working together. First of all, is we give them words to say to others when they say, well, how was the class? How was your experience? How was your meal? How was the treatment that you got with that company? So they have something that's pre-rehearsed that, using the concept of consistency, they're going to say again. So we're priming them to give solid verbal cues. Number two, they are way less likely to do business with somebody else. Why do you think that's the case, Brian?
Well, I think primarily because you're building a rapport with them and they feel this endorphin, you know, because they feel empowered.
Well, they feel they feel great about doing business with you. They're glowing, and they're, as they talk with you, they are glowing. And there's another aspect to it, which is if they do business with somebody else, it makes them a liar.
Good point.
We throw a lot of cement on a relationship when we ask people for that public, voluntary, ultimately written review. There is an anti-competitive component to asking people for that. Then, of course, the third reason is because it gives us really powerful marketing materials. It's proof. One of the most powerful things we can do when we're doing marketing is proof. Mm-hmm. Prove that we can deliver on our word, on our promise. And the thing I really like about third-party proof is they will talk about things that I may not have realized were of value to them. I certainly see my value set, but I'm always looking for the customer value set, because value is a moving target. Thanks to competitive nature, thanks to the fact that technology keeps changing what people expect as far as instantaneous delivery. For example, I'm going to brag for just a moment. I just received Gigablast, and I can't believe how fast my computer runs. It's because I've got this gigabit fiber to my house now. And wow, I mean, I'm going to be, anytime I go to a hotel, I'm going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Right? And so we have a moving target when it comes to value. And we have to keep interviewing people and understanding what that value is.
Absolutely. And you bring up, I mean, that value proposition is so incredibly important. And, you know, one of the things I teach in all of my classes is the perfect avatar. Who is your perfect avatar? And at the end of every single class, I pull up your perfect audience and then your perfect customer. All right. And then all of your products and services and your perfect solution. And what you're trying to do is create a conversation between your perfect product and your perfect solution. By asking those questions, by getting those testimonials, that becomes an arsenal for you of social proof, which is what you're talking about, to be able to use those in your marketing messages, because you're getting real people telling you the emotion. And that's what people buy on, is emotion. You know, this changed my life. I have one client I'm working with right now. He keeps saying, I want people to see how much my product has changed their life. He's so bent on that, you know, and that's really super important.
The other aspect of that is we get to really dial into the customer's language of how they message from their viewpoint value. And it's one thing for us to write our value propositions, but it's even more important for us to understand how customers reflect our value propositions in their language. It's going to speed that connection, as you point out. It's going to show us how to create that identity link that is unshakable. Unshakable. You know, emotion does drive it, but the key emotion is, this is me. This is mine. This is all about my identity. This supports my identity. It is my identity. And that's such an important component when we do messaging, as well as when we talk about reputation management. Mm-hmm. So part of it, as we're talking about this here, is just this idea that people like you and trust you and are willing to do business with you and share that experience with others. But it's also about selecting the languaging so that we can tap into the right tribes, so that our marketing becomes absolutely frictionless.
Mm-hmm. Now, I may or may not have shared this with you, but I know I've shared it with my audience a handful of times. When I'm talking about creating marketing messages, I say that people listen to two different radio stations.
Yes.
And businesses broadcast on two different radio stations.
Yes.
Most businesses write their copy and put their marketing messages on a radio station called WIIAM, which is what is interesting about me. But the end user is reading and consuming all of that message on a different radio station, which is WIIFM, what's in it for me. That's so we're broadcasting on the low end AM, and they're listening on the high end FM. And there's a disconnect.
Yeah, and we can do a quick adjustment so that they both work. And it's called stories.
Mm-hmm.
Customer success stories.
Right.
That's how we bridge those two together. It's how you talk about how you're interesting and how you can be interesting to them. So that's the magic to broadcast simultaneously on both channels.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, because there's a lot of simulcasting going on out there. So I just got done reading this book about something similar we're talking about by John Ronson. It's called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Very, very interesting book. And you can go back and listen to my podcast. I talk a little bit about that, the monocast from earlier in the week. But we've been talking a lot about, you know, how to get, you know, all this positive stuff. But I guess the question becomes now, let's flip it around. How do you deal with the negative stuff? How do you deal when somebody puts something out there on the internet or comes back and you don't get the response that you're expecting when you ask for that testimonial?
Well, there's a couple of ideas. I know you've got some. Let me share with you my standpoint. The first thing we always do is instantly respond with, I am so sorry that we didn't meet your expectation. You got to do that absolutely immediately. And then you have to give them a couple of ideas of what you plan to do. You know, let's have a conversation so I can understand all the all the particulars so that we can make it right. That's the idea here is, especially when you're selling complex products and services, things go wrong. It happens. Stuff happens. And it's not the fact that stuff happens that's the issue. It's that stuff happens and it didn't get made right that causes the problems. When you're working with a complex scenario, the fact that you make it right or even better than right, in fact, you may even compensate people for their loss or their inconvenience when things go wrong, that generates customer goodwill that's beyond anything that you can buy. It's the fixing of the problem that creates value for that customer relationship. And this is so true when we're doing things like technology. Anytime you have a technology install, stuff goes wrong. So are you giving yourself enough time? Are you charging enough money to fix those kind of problems so the customers leave satisfied, although there were hiccups and challenges along the way? So I think we have to, first of all, give ourselves some wiggle room, and second of all, immediately hit those situations head on. Negative situations generate the opportunity for positive outcomes.
Very true. And one of the things that I talk about, you know, in the presentation today, in a lot of different things, is you've got to learn to monitor what happens. One of the stories that I told is if you want to get, I don't know, you have Cox Cable out there. We have Comcast here, I believe. So if I've gotten on the phone with Comcast 5 times and still they cannot fix a problem because you're talking to a bunch of people that are reading off a script. You're not getting to the level 2 people actually understand the technology. It's like, follow this script, and you don't have to know anything about anything. The easiest way to get your problem solved is to go on to Twitter and just put in the hashtag Comcast sucks, and you will immediately get a phone call from a second-level person that will come and solve your problem.
That's right.
They monitor that. They pay people to do nothing but monitor Twitter and social media. So how us as small business people, how do we do that? Because that could be a full-time job.
Well, I think, first of all, let's do the free stuff. Use Google Alerts. Mm-hmm. If you do not have Google Alerts watching for you, your name, and your company name, you're missing huge amounts of opportunity. Do the same thing. Set up a Google Alert for your competitors so that when somebody falls down, you can jump in there and say, I am so sorry that happened to you. Let's talk about making it right. I know that we didn't cause it, but let's, you know, you're our neighbor. We want to make things right for you. So that's the first step. Mm-hmm. Let's use the free stuff. But then there are a lot of reputation management tools out there. You might have a couple of popular ones. What do you use these days?
So yeah, there's a lot of tools out there that you can use. One of them I used to use was Social Mention, but I wasn't getting a lot of traffic on that one. But I just found a new one, and I just set it up yesterday, and I was blown away by the results I got. It's called Talk Walker Alerts. It's TalkWalkerAlerts, and it found stuff that Google Alerts did not find. I gave 3 speeches last week, and I was actually mentioned in 2 blogs, and it found those.
Fantastic. So, that's the kind of thing we need. So we start off with the free stuff, then we might go to something that's a little bit more of a crawler that does that. Another popular one that Mike Koala, who is the CEO of Social Quant, likes is brand24.com. It does social media monitoring, and he uses that to watch not only your social media, but competitive social media so that you can respond in kind. So we need to watch both sides of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. So when you do find something negative out there, what in your estimation is the best way to deal with it, other than, like you said, you go and deal with the person, but, you know, so you can call up that one person, but that social media stuff is still sitting out there, or the negative review is sitting out there. I mean, what do you do from that point?
Well, ideally, we're going to respond to that review directly so that those who read the review can see our response to the review. And what people are going to look for is, how did you mitigate that problem? Yeah, it's not going to go away. So the most important thing is to not get arrogant. Oh, we didn't cause that problem. Oh, we weren't the people that were responsible for that. No, that wasn't our watch. You never want to do that. You want to take responsibility for the customer experience. You know, we're so sorry that happened on your watch, and let's work together to make this right for you. And, you know, use the Nordstrom approach, you know, the old classic story about Nordstrom taking tires back when they didn't even sell tires. And the point that they made in those days is, you know, if a customer has a complaint, we've got enough margin that we can fix everything. Now, today, Nordstrom doesn't take tires back, but the point being that if you charge enough money, you've got enough margin to do some interesting things that generates buzz that results in a very positive situation for you.
Yeah. So, Mark, this has been, again, as usual, a pleasure. Not only that, but inspirational and definitely, I think, mind-opening and altering. And I'm sure my peeps are going to get a lot of great stuff out of this. I call them knowledge bombs. so there's lots of knowledge bombs being dropped. They're the soft kind that actually do a poof and help you become better as opposed to destructive. But anyways.
Always of the light, Brian. You know, and thank you. Thanks to you. You've been my inspiration for launching my podcast. And you've given me a lot of backstory and support along the way. So I'm grateful to you for all of your knowledge bombs and experience as we do this, we make this journey together. Thank you.
Cool, man. My pleasure. So if people wanted to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, two ways to do that. Number one is check out my podcast too, SellingDisruptionShow.com. It's also available on iTunes, Selling Disruption Show. And it's a weekly show for people that got to disrupt. They've got to disrupt their market. If you got to disrupt your market, listen to what we have to say. And yes, Brian has a great show, a great episode on that show and that podcast. So thank you for that. Second is go to markschedule.com. You know, if you think that the conversations we have could be of value, go to markschedule.com and let's book some time together. I'll be delighted to put 30 minutes on the calendar. Just let me know what you think you want to talk about that might create value, and let's explore. I think that'd be a fun thing.
Yes, and I have listened to your show, not only my episode, but other episodes, some great interviews, David Garfinkel, a whole bunch of other people, just fabulous, fabulous stuff. So definitely add that to your listening list, people. It is great stuff, and I guarantee you're going to get something out of it. So, Mark, once again, thank you so much for your time, your willingness to come on, your knowledge, and your expertise. Man, it's always a blast talking to you.
Always a blast to hang out with you too, Brian, and thanks, listener, for hanging out with us.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.